Good morning. Welcome back to The Roundtable. The book Bending the Arc, Striving for Peace and Justice in the Age of Endless War, is a collection narrating how peace activists found their calling and why the world still needs peace activism. Drawing from diverse philosophical and spiritual traditions, contributors share their experiences of working for peace and justice and discuss the obstacles to both. The name of the book, Bending the Arc, Striving for Peace and Justice, is also the title of the 2020 Qatari Peace Conference, which will take place on Zoom on August 21st and 22nd. Contributor Anne Wright and editor Steve Raymond join us now to tell us more, and we welcome Steve and Anne to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you here.
Good morning, Jill and Anne.
All right, Steve, let us begin with you as one of the editors of what it was like and sort of the mission in putting this collection together.
Well, my fellow editors, John Amidon and Maureen Amand, have been running this extraordinary, but I don't know that it's unique, but it's certainly rare, regional peace conference at the Qatari Tekakwitha Shrine for about the last 20 years, soldiering on every summer in the midst of the heat and humidity, bringing some of the most interesting and courageous and experienced peace activists from this country to share with others who come to the conference from all over upstate New York, to do the best they can at bending the arc. I happen to be friends and colleagues. I've taken part in the conference itself. And maybe it's 2 years ago now, suggested we ought to try to put together some kind of collection from that set of amazing people we've had speak at the conference.
So tell us what it was like putting this together and finding the pieces that you found and what you learned in the process of doing this.
Well, I'd already known most of the contributors, interacted with them in one way or another over the years, had been aware of some of their exploits and activities, but actually getting them to tell us their own personal story, how they came to a life of peace and justice activism, taught me an extraordinary amount. My respect grew by leaps and bounds. These are some super citizens who have taken on some of the thorniest problems in American history and stuck with them, have persisted over the decades and in the face of often considerable opposition and attempts at isolation, in some cases the jailing for acts of direct action and civil disobedience. So these are about as courageous a group of patriots, Joe, as I've ever come across.
Anne Wright, give us a sense of your participation in the past in the conference.
Well, I was very honored to be asked to speak at the conference first, and then secondly, to provide a little description of how I became a peace activist, which is a little bit different from the majority of people that are in the book. I myself had a long career in the U.S. government, first in the U.S. military for 29 years and then as a U.S. diplomat for 16 years. So I was part of the government's waging war on groups all over the world for almost 30 years. But in 2003, I ended up resigning in opposition to yet one more war, that war on Iraq. And since then, I've been very active in the peace movement. But don't have nearly the background as many of the contributors to this volume. It was really fascinating to read the history of many of the people that I have come to know over the last 15 years being in the peace movement, but I've never had a chance to sit down at great length to talk to them about all of the things that they did. So this book has been very enlightening to me, too.
When you talk about the importance of peace activism for you, is that something that is conscious in your thought at the beginning or something that you realized over time?
Well, for me, having worked for the U.S. government and having actually been one of my roles in an embassy was to talk to dissidents in other countries about their concerns of the policies of their own country. Then when I finally resigned from the U.S. government and came back to my own country, I really didn't know any peace activists or dissidents in my own country. So it was a real learning process for me of what groups there were, who was working on what thing, and then, you know, whether or not they really wanted me around, because with my legacy of having worked so long for the U.S. government, and then all of a sudden saying, well, I'll be glad to speak about why I resigned from the government, but I didn't have any history of the active participation that all of these people did. So it took a little while to get acclimatized to my new role, and a lot of the things that people were doing, you know, were so different from what I'd been used to. So it was a real learning process for me.
Joe, let me add real quickly that Anne Wright was one of the few diplomats to publicly resign. So, you know, lots of people left the government in disgust from multiple departments following the U.S. invasion of Iraq. But Anne Wright went loudly and condemned the action and directly connected it to her decision to resign, which then sparked other ones and got a bit of a ball rolling. And let me say as well that in her 15 or so years since her government service, she's more than made up for coming to it late.
Thank you, Steve.
and Anne, when you said when you were speaking just a moment ago about not sure that people would want you, you know, of that other people, how they would feel about your background, but I assume that you were very welcomed because of the information that you had accumulated and the views that you had come to.
Well, indeed, as it turned out, that's exactly what happened, because I'd been involved in so many controversial programs, and then to be able to explain a little bit more of the background of all of it and then condemn those things, whether it be the wars in Central America, the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan. I was on the first team of diplomats that went into Afghanistan to reopen our embassy there in December of 2001. So I had a lot of information that I could give out about what the rationale was, but then how badly things had happened and why indeed it is wrong for the United States to be continually invading and occupying these countries and destroying their people and destroying their economies and destroying their infrastructure. So having it come from a longtime U.S. government employee was very useful for the peace movement.
Writing in your piece in the book, you say, throughout my career in the U.S. military, I continued to openly challenge policies on the utilization of women in the military in public confrontations with senior leadership of the U.S. Army through an organization called the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services. Why did that become an important issue for you?
Well, while I was in the military, you know, when you're in any organization, you want to do well, you want to rise in promotions and in rank and things like that. And at the time, the Army had a prohibition against women serving in many different types of units. And yet women were actually serving in them, but the policy was you couldn't, and you couldn't be promoted because officially you weren't allowed to. So several of us decided to take this policy on. Now, these days, I do not recommend at all that women join the U.S. military. There is a huge number of them that do it. There are only 1% of the U.S. military were composed of women when I first joined up back in the 1960s, but now the numbers are around 16% and even higher in the Air Force. But right now, the issue of sexual assault, sexual harassment of women in the military, which is 1 in 4, the the utilization of our military, where our politicians keep getting our military involved in places they shouldn't be, in my opinion. So I no longer recommend at all that women or men join our military.
You, Steve, in the introduction to the book, talk about how the editors provide some guidelines for Anne and the other contributors. Give us a sense of the three or four things that you wanted them to address.
Yeah, first of all, Joe, we wanted to learn more about their lives as activists, to wonder about where their personal commitment to peace and justice came from, to inquire as to the spark that fired them. Was it educational? Was it a government service? Was it a faith or spiritual tradition? And to share with us any inspiration that they came across from individuals, events in history, some kind of particular moment in their life. So there was one cluster. The second one had to do with the particular features of their peace work. What exactly were they doing? What, you know, we want to learn some details. Tell us some anecdotes that illuminate it. And not just, you know, always the rare and small victories, but also challenges and obstacles that stood in the way, and what they might have learned from confronting those. The third cluster of concerns we had, we asked them to address, had to do with war itself. So what was their sense of what gave rise to it? You know, what are some of the causes? How does it get in the way of a steady move toward peace and justice? And then finally, we wanted to hear about their personal visions. What, you know, how are we going to get beyond, to a world beyond war? This is something we're all striving for. I think, you know, Joe, if you ask your listeners, everybody say yes, we want a world beyond war. Well, it's, you know, it's been a difficult road in that direction. The arc is not easy to bend, and so please, contributors, let us know about your own visions of how that comes about. And that was empowering and really hopeful and upbeat.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, if you ask people, they will say, yes, we want it. But TikTok, you know, it's been going on a long time. It seems that at some point we have to fully understand it and move forward. Oh, okay. You know what? I'm told that the governor is going to start a little sooner than we were expecting. So we're going to have to run to a break and unfortunately end our conversation, which I apologize for. But I thank you very much for being with us this morning. The name of the new book is Bending the Arc, Striving for Peace and Justice in the Age of Endless War. The book is published by SUNY Press. The 2020 Qatari Peace Conference will take place online August 21st and 22nd. Links for more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. And it's a pleasure to have both Ann Wright and Steve Braben on the program this morning. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Be well. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.